assets and receivables and leases, which means they give them up as collateral. And then what happens is that when the businesses begin to fail, they can no longer pay their obligations as they fall due. Sometimes there is what's formed a creditors committee of the 20 largest unsecured creditors, and a secured creditors committee can sometimes be formed as well, and they have a place at the table to tell the company that's in bankruptcy, the debtor, what they think about things, and to agree on what should be done. Well, then they go see the bankruptcy judge and have a hearing, and the bankruptcy judge tells them what he or she thinks.
Well, and I'm assuming that before some companies file for bankruptcy, you could even start seeing problems because they don't have money and their creditors are not providing inventory any longer, unless it's cash on the dollar. I remember a case I had a number of years ago. And unfortunately, it was a divorce case, and unfortunately, the judge required my client to pay too much support during the pendency of the case. As a result, he didn't have enough money to buy product, and you know, it was a spiral, and it was really very, very unfortunate.
We call it the death spiral.
Yes, and so because he didn't have enough product because his suppliers were requiring him to pay cash. They weren't giving him and extending any credit any longer. And so that the, you know, it was very unfortunate, but the whole business, he had to file bankruptcy at some point. And what was unfortunate is this was not divorce planning. I mean, usually what happens is somebody says, oh, well, they're trying to, not have a successful business because they don't want to pay out the spouse. But this was truly a situation where he just didn't have enough money to pay everything, and so the money he had to pay his spouse and family and all of the other obligations meant that he just didn't have enough reserves. And that was surprising to me, that in that particular case, at least the judge didn't understand the need for reserves. And if somebody starts falling behind on payments, then the creditors, you know, they're too used to seeing bankruptcy, so they just start drying up the credit and not providing supplies.
Yeah, credit and receivable managers have a very difficult job today because they are going to find themselves over and over dealing with the same problems of trying to monitor how well, their customers are doing, and it's a little bit like gripping an egg. if you you want to hold it so you don't drop it, but on the other hand, and lose the value, but you also want to hold it not so tight that you crush it and end up with mess.
That's true. Well, Bill, thank you for this. And so I'm assuming that a business, when they're filing a Chapter 11, it could be like a personal bankruptcy when somebody's filing Chapter 7, which is liquidation, or it could be more like a Chapter 13 when a person is, trying to restructure their debt.
Yeah, 13s are there to rehabilitate people. You can only file a 13 if you're an individual human being or a married couple. All the time. A lot of it has come out of the mortgage crisis over the past almost 10 years now. A lot of it will continue to go on. I think even though interest rates are going up and the economy looks better, we know that there's a business cycle, and we know that there are, having gone through this now for 40 years of practice, I can tell you that we always have people who or businesses who have these needs, both on the debtor side and the creditor side. And what happens is when you get into this type of an area of the law, it's fascinating to me because you're not just a lawyer, you're a businessman, you're a woman, you're a warrior, you're a diplomat, as well as a legal scholar. and an advocate. And to me, that's what makes his job fun, and that's why I get up in the morning.
Well, and I'd like to thank you. This is Bill Wolfson, and Bill Wolfson specializes in bankruptcy law. He is my go-to guy for any questions in bankruptcy, because I think most of us as attorneys recognize that this is really a specialty. And it's, and I think that's something. There certainly are some general practitioners out there, but I don't even know any general practitioners that do bankruptcy. I sometimes laugh when the real estate market seems to dry up. There are more real estate lawyers who are doing family law. But my advice always to anyone is call on somebody who is, if it's a family lawyer, who is designated by the Supreme Court as a matrimonial practitioner, or a civil attorney, or a criminal specialist, or certainly bankruptcy. But thanks, Bill, and I know that if people have questions, that you wouldn't mind them giving you a call. So why don't you give them your phone number?
Well, it's always a pleasure for me to talk to people, whether they hire me or not. You know how much I like to talk, Pat. 908-782-9333, and I look forward to questions.
And we'll be back in just a few minutes with the sports guys, who, of course, Bill Wolfson is one of the sports guys, as am I. And maybe by the time we start, John Manfreda will be here. So until next week, it's the law. Bye.
Home Instead Senior Care. It's our passionate dedication to creating personal relationships between our clients and our caregivers. Visit our website at www.homeinstead.com/325.
You've got a friend.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Hi, this is Ruth Ann Disatel, Celebrant Officiant with Celebration of a Lifetime. When people ask me why I joined the Chamber, it's because I want to get to know you and what you're all about. And I want you to get to know me and what I'm all about. And together, I'd like to celebrate what we can do for Hunterdon County.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Jason Wirt.
He believes that Mike Flynn should go testify. He thinks that he should go up there and do what he has to do to get the story out.
White House spokesman John Spicer saying President Trump doesn't believe that Michael Flynn should ask for immunity because he's guilty, but rather because the story needs to get out to combat falsehoods in the media. Spicer declined to say what he would do in that situation.
I'm not going to give Mike Flynn or anyone else legal advice from the podium, but I will tell you that the president's view is he should go up there, he should testify.
Arizona Senator John McCain says he backs Defense Secretary James Mattis when Mattis says a harder line needs to be taken against North Korea.
We have to send the message loud and clear. The United States of America cannot have the North Koreans with the capability to strike and send a nuclear weapon to the United States of America. And this is going to be a great test of the administration.
A court appearance for the first of two men charged with murder in connection to a shooting at a Cincinnati nightclub. Bail set at $2 million. USA Radio News.
A CNN original series.
Stop doubting and believe.
The followers who loved him.
I am the resurrection and the life.
The enemies who feared him.
Go to Bethlehem. Kill them all.
Who is the man behind the greatest story ever told?
Everybody who belongs to the truth listens to my voice.
Finding Jesus. New season Sundays at 9 Eastern and Pacific on CNN.
From Samaritan's Purse and Franklin Graham comes Facing Darkness. In 2014, as the Ebola virus was devastating West Africa, international relief organization Samaritan's Purse stepped up.
God has called us to care for the dying, to care for those that are suffering. Jesus Christ didn't run. We run to the fire. We don't run away from it.
Facing Darkness, a true story of faith. In select cinemas for one night only, Thursday, March 30th. For theaters and tickets, go to facingdarknessmovie.com. That's facingdarknessmovie.com.
The fire that collapsed part of Interstate 85 is not going to just affect the city of Atlanta. Lisa Carter's on the scene with more.
What does this mean as far as going from here? This is not just an Atlanta problem. It impacts the entire southeast portion of the U.S. This is a perfect storm as far as a traffic nightmare. It's spring break weekend. Huge volleyball tournament in town, bringing in tens of thousands of extra people this weekend. Plus, the Braves break in their new stadium on I-75 with an exhibition game with the Yankees on Friday night. It is going to be weeks, probably months, before everything is inspected and repaired. Big job ahead here in Atlanta. Reporting from Atlanta, Lisa Carter.
The South Carolina man convicted of federal hate crimes and the killing of nine people at a historic black church in Charleston expected to plead guilty to murder in a state trial. The Charleston Post and Courier says Dylan Roof will plead guilty on April 10th in exchange for a life sentence without parole. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Welcome to Geico's Motorcycle Meanderings.
Oh man, this is great. I sure saved a lot of money by switching to Geico. I scored some big savings and now I can use their mobile app 24/7 for all sorts of stuff. Life just makes sense now. You know what doesn't make sense? If a car is called a horseless carriage, why isn't a motorcycle called a horseless horse? Maybe it would just be adding insult to injury for the out-of-work horses.
Geico Motorcycle. Savings that make sense.
There is no way around it. The EU27 does not and will not pursue a punitive approach. Brexit in itself is already punitive enough.
European Union President Donald Tusk saying the EU will do nothing more to punish Britain for leaving the EU because he considers leaving the EU punishment in itself. But he did say he would not negotiate any immigration deals or any trade deals with Britain until Brexit is done.
Once and only once we have achieved sufficient progress on the withdrawal, can we discuss the framework for our future relationship. Starting parallel talks on all issues at the same time, as suggested by some in the UK, will not happen.
Reports out of New York have a wild tale behind a police shooting of a man in a pickup truck.
This driver allegedly rammed two state police trooper cruisers and was going toward another trooper on foot. Now, the truck with Delaware plates could be seen with a smashed up front end. Now, the attorney general's office would only say that state police were doing an investigation when a state trooper shot and killed a man inside a pickup truck. Scott Pringle, New Jersey.
Millions around the world have been watching the Animal Adventure Park Giraffe Cam to keep tabs on April the giraffe. Well, her keepers say she's getting moody in the final days of her pregnancy. They believe that she's ready to give birth at the early part of April. USA Radio News.
Don't fear technology. Use it, understand it, and embrace it. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology. I'm your host, Chris Bianco, principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. Every Tuesday morning from 10 to 11, we will cover new apps, buying advice, technology news, and answer your questions. Good day, and join me on Tech Today on HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
Okay, the sports guys will be here as soon as I tell you about the weather. If you haven't been out there, it's a good day to stay home. If you are driving, be careful. There are flood warnings tonight, this afternoon. Tonight they're expecting 100% rain. So especially when it's dark, be very careful when you start seeing deep puddles or what could be deep puddles because, I remember a couple years ago in places like Newark, especially if you're going under bridges and there's a dip, be very careful. But tomorrow again, Bill, we're going to have a heavy rains in the morning, partially fog. At least there's an 80% chance of rain in the morning. But on Sunday, guess what?
Beautiful and clear.
Beautiful and partly sunny and a beautiful day, about 50 degrees. This would be a day where somebody like Bill is going to be tempted to go down and go onto his boat. And others of you, it'll be a great day to possibly get your motorcycle out if the roads are dried up and or go bike riding or all the other things that we seem to try to do as soon as we have a nice day in the winter, or I guess I should say now, spring.
Spring has sprung, Pat. The weather is going to clear. I understand that it's going to rain for about half a Saturday and start getting nice around 2 o'clock and when this front moves out and moves back offshore. So we've got some tough weather coming up for the next probably 24 hours, I would say, maybe just 18 hours, and then it's going to start to turn nice again. We're seeing some friends tomorrow down in New Hope, and then Sunday I'm going to be getting up very early, heading to my boat.
See, I told you. Did I tell you if there's anything close to a nice day, Bill will be down at the boat?
Oh, I'm going to try to leave my house by 6 a.m. I'm going to sneak out, and I'm going to try to be back by about 1 o'clock, because what I have to do is I have to remove all the interior decking that people walk on, take it home, sand it down, put a nice coat of teak oil on it, and I've got some new teak oil I'm looking forward to trying out that makes it look pretty and shiny, and you don't slip when it's wet. So to me, that's like the holy grail of teak oil, because it's real easy to slip when you're standing sideways, especially if you're standing sideways at a galley stove full of spaghetti sauce and meatballs.
Well, Bill, you would have liked to see all the boats. I just came back from Mexico, from Cancun, and went out to Isla Mujeres on a catamaran. And I think you would have been in heaven to see some of the beautiful boats down there. I mean, I was really surprised because, of course, when we used to go down to Isla Mujeres and that area, it was jungle, and there really weren't much of anything in the way of boats.
Well, I actually have been to Cancun, which I think is a really neat place to go to in Mexico, and I sailed over to Isla de Mujeres on a catamaran with about 25 other people, and we had a funny thing happen when we started to head back. And I can tell you the story if you want to hear it, but before I do that, folks, for those of you don't know, Isla de Mujeres is a small island and a small town, resort town, about 10 miles off the coast of Mexico near Cancun.
Is it even that far from Ciudad Juarez? The small town closest is Juarez.
Right.
Ciudad Juarez, which is not the Juarez what we think of. But I remember many years ago going over in, you know, what they called a ferry, which was nothing more than kind of a large rowboat. And you're right, from where we took off from Cancun, it was at least 10 miles out.
Right. Well, the, we started at a dock. It was a resort dock, and this was a nice catamaran. It was about 30 feet long. It was a sloop, meaning there were just two sails, one mast, and they had a 9-horse outboard motor, which sort of got us there under sail, and they dropped the anchor by a dock, and we all got off and walked around Isla de Mujeres, had a great lunch, had a little bit of a siesta on the beach, had probably too many agave margaritas, and then got back in the boat. And, you know, it's a very funny thing. At certain times of the year, apparently the winds change or they die. And when you sail a catamaran, it sails a little bit different than a single-hull boat. For those of you who don't know, a catamaran has two hulls and a trimaran has three hulls. A catamaran usually has something in the middle of it called a trampoline for people to sit up front and get nice and wet and enjoy a nice warm day. Well, we got back on the boat and they couldn't start the engine. These three Mexican guys who were in charge of the boat, and the wind was blowing so that they literally were going to get blown back on the beach. I had to explain to them in Spanish that that they had a problem, and if they couldn't start the engine, and they said it was going to get dark in about 2 hours, and they were going to be in big trouble because there was nobody they could call on Isla de Mujeres, literally this Sunday, who would come fix the engine. And we checked out the engine, and of course, they had fuel. But nobody had bothered to clean the filters in probably since the engine was installed. So the one thing that I do know how to do is to tank. And so what we did.
So, Bill, you bet for the non-sailors, what is tacked?
Pardon?
What do you mean by tacked for the non-sailors?
Well, the first thing you do is you get the sails up and you turn them at an angle so that the wind is pushing against the sails, and you let go of the mooring line, and the boat took off like a rocket. It didn't take off in the direction of Cancun. It took off in the direction of Argentina. And we got the boat up to doing about 15, 18 knots. And we went all the way past Cancun, and they began to get scared. So I said, "Mentemente, por favor, wait." And I spun the wheel, and we turned the boat around. And now we had turned, and we're going the opposite direction. We attacked, but on an angle. And after about five or six of those tacks, they decided that I did know what I was doing, and we pulled up to the dock in Cancun at about 11:30 at night with a very anxious owner wondering whether somebody had stolen his boat and wanting to know why this gringo was at the helm. And, you know, it was very interesting when I explained, the first thing he did was he yelled at the guys. I think he fired one of them, which I thought was kind of unfair because it wasn't his fault that the engine filters had never been cleaned. But then he offered me a job.
and you should have stayed.
I probably should have stayed, but I said, "You can't afford me." And
I don't know. The weather down in Cancun. And John Manfreda has joined us, so I know we have to get back to real sports.
Sailing's not a real sport. Sailing's the best sport there is.
And that
you can have with most of your clothes on.
Well, and you would have enjoyed seeing me parasailing. But to me, in many ways, Isla Mujeres was a disappointment because we would go there back when it was really a sleepy fishing village, and there was one small hotel, and the most people wouldn't have even gotten on the ferry, the one ferry that used to go over there, and I think it maybe went twice a day. But in any event, we're back. I know you guys were out in Las Vegas, but I think we should talk about what's happening with some of the sports teams that are moving around, don't you?
Well, it's very exciting. First of all, the Las Vegas Golden Knights will start playing hockey in what sounds like a beautiful arena starting next season.
Did you see it when you were out
there? We actually passed the arena. You can see it. It's behind New York, New York. And I'm told it's really a state-of-the-art arena.
Has it been finished?
Yes.
It's finished. They have already had a Los Angeles Kings Phoenix game.
Preseason? Was that regular or preseason, Bill?
They actually had a regular season game there because they wanted to whet everybody's appetite. And they have started selling Las Vegas Golden Knights activewear.
Yeah, that was the thing we saw in the hotel. We were staying at the Rio, and in the gift shop, they had hats and shirts. And I actually saw, I was trying to keep count, Bill, as we walked around Las Vegas all week. I probably saw close to a dozen people with Knights outerwear on. So it's definitely has a presence there.
Now, talking as a non-hockey person, this is going to be a new team.
An expansion draft will happen in June.
And so how are they going to do this expansion draft?
Well, similar to the other expansions where teams will be allowed to protect, I believe it's 12 players.
That's correct. One goalie, six forwards, either six or seven forwards.
Yeah, it's broken down, but I mean, the point is it's like 12 or 15 players, and you might have, like most teams usually carry a top 40 in their organization, so they're going to lose play. But the NHL does it in a very clever way, one of the few things they do in a clever way, and that is, for example, if you in the first round of the expansion draft lose a goalie, then they can't pick another goalie from you. They're very smart that way, so that like the team that is the top pick, the team's done a good job of accumulating talent doesn't get hurt the most. Okay, we have four good goalies in the organization and we lost one. Well, that's 25% of their goalie. Resources, now the rest of their goalies are protected. And I think that's a good thing, Bill?
How about other positions?
I don't think they do that with the – I think they just do it with goalies for obvious reasons. It's like pitchers and an expansion to baseball.
And I'm assuming that they can't just pick everybody from one team, that they have
they
to do it
– because I think you can only lose two players. Plus, they've thrown in something else. If you're a player with a no-movement contract, which has become more and more common in the NHL, you are off the list. You are protected, and they don't even have to put you on the protected list.
That I did not know, and that would not make sense to me because a team in anticipation of expansion could just give that to a whole bunch of the top. I don't think that's accurate. I think there's some tweaking going on there. It may be if you lose a player who had a no trade clause, there's extra compensation to the player, and maybe the team gets a compensatory pick. But I don't think that you can just avoid the expansion draft by putting that. I don't think that's true.
Why wouldn't you always do that?
Yeah, you would just do that with anybody who was even a mid-range player. So bottom line is it's done in a fair way, and typically it takes 2-3 years. For an expansion team, really in any sport, but I think hockey is one of the sports you can build quickly because you only put 5-6 players on the ice at one time. Football is clearly the most difficult because that's based on stars, okay? And there's plenty of players around, but you only win if you have stars. And you got to have 2 or 3, 4, 5 stars on your team, and so that's why football is going to be the hardest. Baseball would be the second hardest.
Well, I would think that football would also be more difficult because in some ways there are so many people on a team that have to work together. Now maybe I just don't know hockey. I realize that
that comes down to practicing and putting drafting people who complement each other. But what I'm saying is, let me put it this way, and Bill, I don't know what your take might be, but my initial take on it would simply be that – there is such separation between the stars and the next level that if you've got two or three superstars on your team, you have a shot to win because you really have to just surround maybe with 10 or 20 good players, okay? And you can have a winning football team. But if you have no stars, then you can have 50 decent players and you're not going to win anything. And I think that's really the key in football, which is why the quarterback position is so overvalued, because you can't win without a decent quarterback, nor can you win without at least a couple stars on defense. And I just think that's what separates football from a lot of the other sports. Basketball, you could say, is the same way. If you have the big dominant center, I mean, look at the history of the last 20, 30 years. You had the Shaq era going all the way back to the 60s. You had the Bill Russell, Will Chamberlain era. And by the way, Will Chamberlain won one championship and Bill Russell won 13. But
really,
who's counting?
Have to talk about basketball after what happened to my team.
Yeah, they talk about a collapse.
No. Did you see the game?
No.
Oh, no. Oh, you didn't see the game?
I don't watch basketball.
Well, but you didn't watch March Madness? Oh, well, that
only a few.
What aspect of it are you referring
well,
to?
That
we know they lost, but in what aspect?
Well, yeah, but they lost by 1 point in overtime. And it was back and forth. I think maybe it changed like 9 times, 10 times. Each team was up by 11
yeah,
or 12.
But that happens in basketball, particularly
point.
Overtime. Yeah.
Yeah. But no, what happened in this case is Wisconsin, just before the bell in regular time, they tied the game. In fact, the player who tied it did the old Aaron Rodgers, what do they call that, the whatever Aaron Rodgers.
Double discount.
Double discount, whatever. And looked at the stands and grinned, and Aaron Rodgers was there. Then in overtime.
Discount double check.
Discount double check. So then in overtime, Wisconsin was ahead by 2. There was 4 seconds left. Florida got the ball, started running down, and it looked like the buzzer would go off. Went down, made a 3-point basket, which you had to really look to see if it was going to be 2-point, tie
right,
it up again,
right,
or 3. And so they won by 1. I mean, it was, you know, I know Michigan also lost by 1 point, but I'm telling you, that game.
Well, I think these teams are so evenly matched that you get results like that, don't you, Bill?
I would agree. Again, I'm not a college hoop fan. I don't really follow it, and I'm certainly not an NBA fan. I just don't enjoy it. But in college basketball, when you start to get to that elite level, or you get to that Cinderella team with that elite level, you get teams like Oregon who come out of nowhere. I think Oregon's been in the Final Four in the last 50 years, and suddenly there they are. I mean, if I were a betting man, too much money left, John. I would be picking Oregon just because I think somebody has sprinkled them with magic dust, and I think they're going to do it.
Oh, I think it's going to be, well, it could be South Carolina. I really thought Kansas would go.
I did too. I thought Kansas would win this thing. Yeah,
but they, you know, there were certainly some surprises. I would have liked to have seen Wisconsin go at least one more round, obviously. And there's nobody from the Big Ten. And the one thing about Wisconsin is some of these schools that are always in the finals, I mean, they seem to recruit for 1 year and then their kids go on to the
Yeah, the one and NBA. Done syndrome is just, as a fan, okay, you may be a fan, maybe your school may be happy, but that just can't be a good thing in general.
I agree. I think that it's definitely... I mean, that's one of the things I like about Wisconsin. I know people have said, well, why do they have so many white guys on the team? Well, because they recruit primarily from Wisconsin. And, of course, they don't all have, you know, they're not all white guys. But if you look at Wisconsin teams, they generally are Wisconsin and maybe Northern Illinois and once in a while somebody from somewhere else. But anyway, I think we probably need to play a couple spots from our sponsors and then we'll come back and we'll talk about what's happening with football in Las Vegas.
That's a great idea, Pat.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program, no drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage,
At Crown Trophy of Flemington, we have thousands of products for you to choose from. Whether you're looking for trophies, plaques, or corporate awards, Crown Trophy of Flemington is your one-stop shop. We feature acrylic and crystal awards and promotional products for any occasion. We build and engrave all awards right on site, and we're a leading supplier of varsity jackets for local sports teams. We provide quality customer service and great pricing. Crown Trophy of Flemington is conveniently located in the Staples Shopping Center in Flemington. Crown Trophy of Flemington, we're trophies and a whole lot more.
I'm your ice cream man, stop me when I'm passing by.
It's time to visit Pambee's, the newest ice cream shop in town. Pambee's Purely Delicious Ice Cream, Gelato, and Sorbet, made in Hunterdon County from unique blends of natural extracts, herbs, and spices. Created with a rich, creamy texture bursting with flavor. Tickle your palate with exotic flavors such as rose cardamom, hot mango, and ginger lemon. Or satisfy your craving for dark chocolate, pecans, and caramel. Located on Route 31 south of Clinton. Pambee's, Purely Delicious.
See, now all my flavors are guaranteed to satisfy.
This is Tony Clark, paraplanner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters of Weichert Realtors. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime. And selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 and Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technologies to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
Hey, we're back, the sports guys. And so let's talk about what's happening in football in Las Vegas, since you guys should know.
Well, we certainly saw a lot of folks walking around with Raiders jerseys on.
We certainly did.
Yeah, I mean, you got to look at that, and because of the nature of the NFL, you got to wonder, first of all, we know there's a huge amount of gambling that goes on with NHL, you know, probably 10 times all the other sports combined. I mean, that is what it is. I mean, as Sunday approaches, you know, money moves, and they say it's billions of dollars. You know, how do you – it's a tough environment in which to have professional players walking around all week. How are they going to keep these guys out of a casino?
So are they barred from any gambling or just gambling on sports?
You know, I think that's going to be revisited. I think I always thought it was barred from gambling, but the Pete Rose thing basically stands for the proposition you can't bet on your own team. But I don't think – I think they poo-poo it, but they fall short of – I mean, I don't know why they don't just put it in the contracts, but I guess the Players Association has resisted that, wanting to hold out a bargaining chip. But they should say, look, if you're going to play for us in our league, you have to agree not to place a wager.
Well, but any wager, or would it just be sports? Or it would be football, for example, for football players? Because does it really hurt if a football player
puts a baseball bet, of course.
Well, no, I'm even thinking horse racing. You know, I mean,
well, whatever. Anything other than your own sport.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't think professional athletes are prohibited from gambling except where for teams in their own league, obviously, because then they acquire a financial interest in an outcome. And I don't think that that's – I think that's going to get banned. I think they'll be prohibited from gambling on football.
I think they already are, aren't they?
No, I don't think that's the case.
Really? I honestly don't know how it works.
I don't believe that is the case right now.
Well, I guess
and then there was the other thing. One of the Pete Rose affirmative defense was, well, I didn't bet against my team. He was managing the Reds when apparently he was placing bets. He said, but I never bet against my own team. His point being, well, if I put $1 million on the Reds to win – I'm managing the Reds. I'm supposed to try to make them win. It's only I can't. The prohibition should be on betting against the team you're being paid to manage to try to win. That's his theory.
So, well, but it'll be interesting. It seems to me that all the season tickets in Las Vegas are going to be bought up by the casinos and the other businesses.
No, I mean, they clearly will buy a few seats, but they're so expensive. You're not going to see. I mean, presumably there's going to be a lot of luxury boxes, and they'll buy those. Yeah, because you have concerts. You're going to create a new venue there. Because right now you have concerts, you know, Bill and I went to a number of very nice concerts. We saw Rod Stewart in a big concert hall in Caesar's Palace in the Coliseum. But you now can put 80,000 people. You know, when these rock bands go and they play these different stadiums, they can play to 80,000 people. So now they can do that in Las Vegas. So I think you will see that stadium get used a lot.
I know that.
But it's going to be a dome stadium, first of all, and it's going to be air conditioned.
No, but I'm saying
68,000 people. So
68,000.
Yeah, but wait a minute. Yeah. What I'm saying is, it seems to me that a lot of sports fans that are going out there, they're going to want to have some package that the hotels are going to have an incentive to have tickets for
the people that stay there.
That's exactly what they anticipate. It seems to me that they'll buy up a lot of the seats.
I think you will have, because the population, remember, isn't super out there. So, yeah, the lack of population or non-transient population will be offset by exactly that. It'll be the casinos probably buying up anywhere from 1 to 500 seats a game, or maybe a luxury box, and then they will package those. Right. They will market those and say, we're going to give you a 4-day weekend in Las Vegas, tickets to the game, you know, for $10,000 a person. And they're going to sell those because that's what they do with the Super Bowl.
Well, even in, you know, remember, the Green Bay, the stadium, over 80,000, and the city of Green Bay is a little more than 100,000. But it is true that many of those season tickets, the bars have a number of them, because that's one of the things that then, and certain companies have a lot of those seats. So it's not just individuals. And of course, you know, it's almost impossible to ever in someone's lifetime get a season ticket at Green Bay.
But Green Bay's a very different animal than bringing what suddenly become a good team like the Oakland Raiders into Las Vegas. First of all, Las Vegas has, for the past 20 years, tried to become a lot more than just a place to gamble and throw some dice against the wall or hope their roulette wheel comes up with your number. It's become a real entertainment venue, whether for shows or music or for museums or for...
I don't know about museums.
All kinds of things. Well,
Vegas is very... Bill and I went to a couple of museums. No, Vegas has tremendous museums.
Really?
We went to the National Atomic Energy Museum that was absolutely fantastic. Particularly to me, a kid growing up in the 60s with a father who was an electrical engineer and was always talking about testing routines and test equipment and scientific methods and so forth, I found it really fascinating. I kept saying to you, Bill, if only my dad could see this.
Yeah, it was really very cool. The museum was devoted to the testing of nuclear weapons out in the desert. And underground nuclear testing. You actually got to see a hydrogen bomb, of course, with the shell of it, of course, at least I hope. You got to see nuclear devices that were about the size of a suitcase that they would bury in a salt mine somewhere, a salt cave, and then set it off. And you could see explosions going on. And for some reason, Khrushchev was very prominently featured in all of these, for those of you who remember the 60s. You probably didn't have a lot of fun, but I could remember the 60s. But Vegas has a lot of interesting museums. I'm sorry we didn't get to the organized crime or mob museum. That would have been interesting.
Trip. They would have just been able to take things from the people that lived there back in, the 50s.
But getting back to the sports venue, the stadium will hold 68,000 people. They are going to try to have 10,000 game day tickets available to the public. Remember, Vegas is a 4.5-hour ride from Los Angeles. It's probably an 8-hour ride from the Oakland-San Francisco area. The Oakland Raiders right now share a stadium with the Oakland Athletics baseball team, and they have not been happy with that stadium for years. And they've been looking for a state-of-the-art stadium, and because it requires so much public money these days, what happened is that Oakland is not a wealthy city, and so it was a matter of time, I think. The team got better. Now it's a good time to move. So a team that's competitive going into a new stadium in Las Vegas is going to be an instant draw.
Well, I don't even think they'd have to be that competitive, because I think that one of the things that people would do
is
they'd go to football.
Because you have to remember, we take it for granted because we're here in New Jersey, and we have access to the Meadowlands, if you want to count Philadelphia. But the point is, we can get to Major League sporting venues very quickly. The vast majority of the country does not. So a lot of people, to your point, Pat, let's go to Vegas for 4 or 5 days. Maybe we'll get an NHL. Can you imagine going to Vegas in October or November? You could get tickets to an NHL game on Friday night. You could do a college game on Saturday, UNLV. And you could do a Sunday NFL game. Think about that for a weekend trip. Bill, I have our names written down on that. I can see our airplane tickets flying out there to Vegas.
And what you're also forgetting is the number of people in Southern California that have private planes that go regularly into Las
that
Vegas.
Stadium. That's a very good point. When that stadium, they just put a new, United put a new terminal in about 2 years ago. That airport is going to double or triple just because of football and hockey. You're going to have A, all the teams coming in. B, you're going to have so many more people coming in on the weekends particularly. You're going to have a lot. Because one of the beauties of Las Vegas is you land, takes you about 10 minutes, 20 minutes to get your luggage, another 20 minutes to get a taxi cab, and 5 minutes to get to the strip. In 45 minutes, you're in your room. That's one of the great things about it. I think that'll change.
One of the very cool things is they are locating the stadium just outside the city limits in Clark County and right off Interstate 15, which goes in between Los Angeles and Phoenix, Arizona. So Phoenix, Arizona, I think, is a 4 or 5 hour
drive. Yeah, I don't think Phoenix is that far.
Yeah, it might be 6 at most, but it may even be less than that.
But again, there are a lot of... Except there are also a lot of cheap flights on Southwest Airlines out of Phoenix and out of out of LA, but especially Phoenix.
And one of the other attractions is this: what if you want to see the team you always follow? Let's say you're an Eagles fan, or let's say you're a Jets fan.
Yeah, you could actually get tickets, try to go to Vegas to see your team play there.
Yeah, in fact, it would probably be easier if the Packers happened to play out there to get tickets to see the Packers in Vegas than it will be in Green Bay.
No doubt about it. I mean,
I guess they never play. Rarely play. No, they've played. I mean, Brett Favre game when his dad had died. That was the Oakland game. And in fact, I'll never forget it because everybody had such a bad impression of Oakland fans, and they were unbelievable that night.
Well, remember something else. You're going to have hotels creating packages.
Oh yes.
For NFL fans, let's say, the Cleveland Browns are coming in, or the Pittsburgh Steelers are coming in. The NFL publishes a schedule, 2 or 3 years ahead of time?
About 6 months ahead of time.
No. They publish it usually in May.
Actually, it's done in two stages. On the the day after the season ends, they publish a schedule of who you're going to play.
Right.
Because that's all based on the computer.
Right.
They know that, and they have a model with that.
But
actual scheduling of the games doesn't. It's being done right now, although do have – I think the schedule is out.
Is it?
Now, it's right around draft time it actually comes up. But even then, you may have a date, but it could be a 1 o'clock game, 4 o'clock game, or 8 o'clock game.
So
you really don't know definitively.
You never know what time the game's going.
They can flex the games out.
We don't know when we get our tickets until about June.
Yeah.
And it's very difficult to even get rooms.
And
that's because we get them from Green Bay.
Right, but it's difficult to get a room in Green Bay on game day, but it's going to be very easy to get a ticket and a room in Las Vegas on
really
game day
easy.
If you want to see your Packers play.
And in fact, what happens in Green Bay is they increase the prices. I mean, it's just ridiculous because they have a lot of hotels and motels that are empty most of the year.
Remember when they had the Super Bowl in the Meadowlands 2 years ago? Suddenly you had, fly-by-night hotels with $500 a night rooms for that weekend. I mean, it's the same thing. It is America. It is capitalism.
Yeah, but this is every football weekend.
Yeah,
Green Bay.
That's not a surprise because, look, just like yourself, people who move away from Green Bay somehow never seem to give up that loyalty to that team. It's in your blood. Whereas people who might move away from Philadelphia or move away from the New York urban area may decide that, they just absolutely are in love with the Arizona Cardinals. I've seen it. I have friends who moved out there. My brother, who was a longtime Giant fan and now lives and dies for the Buccaneers, and he lives maybe 3 miles from the stadium.
Yeah, I think that's the exception rather than the rule.
Most people
I know never change affiliations. But anyway, I think it is going to be very exciting. I'm excited because as somebody who's gone to Vegas so many times, my biggest challenge is to find a new challenge out there. Now I've got not one, but the Raiders won't be there for 2 years. But I am very anxious about going on. Now, next March, when we typically go in March, my guess is we'll pick a week, we'll look at the schedule, and we may be able to get 2 or 3 hockey games in.
Yeah.
Exactly. You know, that'd be pretty cool.
And you
cool
probably
to go to
wouldn't care what teams they're playing.
No, I would. I would be great if one of our teams were, you know, were there, Eastern Conference team. But that's exactly right. I mean, we go out to Vegas. Hey, you know what? Let's go to the buffet, and then we'll go to the Golden Knights versus whoever, and then we'll come back and we'll play some poker. I mean, that's going to become really a cool thing to do.
And remember, there's another advantage when you come from the East Coast, because the Western Conference teams usually just make
one swing east. So when you go out there, you're going to get to see the Western Conference teams. That's a very good point, Bill.
So if you missed, say,
the Kings coming in,
the Kings, or you missed the Edmonton Oilers, who are
well, nobody's going to miss them. But the Kings is a good example.
But the Edmonton Oilers could win a cup this year after not being in the playoffs for, what, 20 years?
Yeah.
They've had a long, I'll use your word, Babylonian captivity.
That's right.
And now they have a shot at the promised land again. So if they go deep into the Stanley Cup playoffs this year, and they start and they go to Vegas, at least they're playing at least three games there, because that's the way things work. It's either three or two. And I think they're going to want to goose revenues and goose the number of people who go. So in order to incentivize people to go, you may see some of the teams that go deep into the playoffs playing more games in Vegas than having Vegas go visit them. Mm-hmm. So the way the NHL likes to do things is they have a saying when they do their ticketing, we don't want empty seats in the lower bowls, because one, doesn't look good on television, two, it creates excitement. And typically when you get a new NHL team in a venue, and the venue has at least some youth hockey, a lot of the tickets are half price, where they make deals with youth hockey leagues to come in for it. You sell the tickets as a fundraiser, so it, that $40 ticket, you get to keep $20 of the revenue just to have kids in those lower bowl seats.
Well, let me ask you, who's paying for the Steelers Stadium and for the hockey stadium?
Well, the hockey stadium is built, and I believe that was paid for, I think, in part by Clark County and part, you know, by the owners of the franchise.
Okay.
Yeah. It's going to get harder and harder, for obvious reasons, to get tax dollars to build stadium. I mean, those days are kind of gone. That's politically very unpopular now. I mean, the NFL's making billions of dollars.
Yeah, except in Green Bay.
Well, that's very true. But remember also, the Association of Hotel and Casino Owners have paid for a significant amount of that bonding, or have guaranteed a significant amount of that bonding.
And they should. I mean, they're going to make a tremendous amount of money. So, how is the football stadium going to be paid for? Do you know?
I think the same way.
What I heard was there wasn't going to be any public money, or if so, not very much.
I heard something differently, John. And what was being discussed one afternoon was exactly how they were going to fund this. Now, there was a time where it was going to be all private funding by a group led by Sheldon Adelson, who I think owns the Sands. And Adelson pulled out of this and decided he did not want to be an NFL owner and didn't want to help fund the stadium. He's a multi-billionaire with interest in casinos and other types of entertainment all over the world. So now there's a group of 20 or 30 hotel and entertainment organizations, a couple of banks, plus the state of Nevada is issued certain guarantees. Clark County?
Yeah, it's Clark County, and you bring up a good point. It may be more of the guarantee rather than the actual revenue. But we'll figure that out. That'll all come out. That's minutia.
Well,
the bottom line is you're going to have the NFL in Las Vegas.
Remember, this is going to be a $1.9 billion stadium.
Well, yeah.
The reason it's
1.9 actually, they were talking about being able to get it done like for 1-2 because things are a lot cheaper out there. I think it'll be closer to 1 than 2. But you're right. You're going to be talking about a big production. You're going to be hearing a lot about this. The part that really kind of I wonder about is they got to play in Oakland for 2 more years. You know, you got to play in a place where you know you are leaving them in the dust for it's 2 years out. I mean, how do you do that? That is
Most of these teams when they leave, it's kind of like
The Chargers
goodbye.
Up and left.
They're gone.
They're gone. So I mean, that's going to be a real.